Now punaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai Om shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 25. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, abandoning the abundant riches, fearless but feigning fear, they went many yojanas on their lotus-like feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, how they acted as human beings is described in this verse. Assuming the activities and qualities of human beings, manushya cheshtam apanau, however, is their very nature. This is not real reason for their fleeing, however, because even though they many times assume the human role, in those cases they have shown their omniscience and omnipotence. It cannot also be explained as some immature display out of prema, because there were no devotees present there. Nor can it be explained as an imitation of fear, because as Uddhava said, even the intelligent are disturbed, thinking you flee out of fear. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.16. In the same verse, however, Uddhava states that being the protector of Dwarka, he fled in great fear. By examining this statement, one will understand the reason for fleeing. Though without fear, Krishna Balaram decided to show fear, acting like fearful persons. This expresses a contradiction. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when he saw them fleeing, powerful Jarasandha laughed loudly and then pursued them with charioteers and foot soldiers. He could not understand the exalted position of the two lords. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, due to this pastime, Krishna is known as Ranchora, which means one who has left the battlefield. In India, especially in Gujarat, there are many temples of Krishna. Known as temples of Ranchoraji. Ordinarily, if a king leaves the battlefield without fighting, he is called a coward. But when Krishna enacts this pastime, leaving the battlefield without fighting, he is worshipped by the devotees. A demon always tries to measure the opulence of Krishna, whereas a devotee never tries to measure his strength and opulence, but always surrenders unto him and worships him. By following the footsteps of pure devotees, we can know that Krishna, the Ranchoji, left the battlefield not because he was afraid, but because he had some other purpose. Krishna's leaving the battlefield is a display of one of his six opulences. Krishna is the supreme powerful, the supreme wealthy, the supreme famous, the supreme wise, and the supreme beautiful. Similarly, he is the supreme renouncer. Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that he left the battlefield in spite of having ample military strength. Even without his milita, he alone could have been sufficient to defeat the army of Jarasandha, as he had done 17 times before. Therefore, his leaving the battlefield is an example of his supermost opulence, renunciation. Because he having all that, he doesn't have to prove himself, right? Others, is they have to prove, no, I can do this and that. People have to know. But he doesn't. So that's renunciation. He's able to give up that position that people would respect him for that or not. Srila right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, apparently exhausted after fleeing a long distance, the two lords climbed a high mountain named Pravarshana, upon which Lord Indra showers incessant rain. Footnote 12. Pravarshana means place of great rain. Fire could not burn it. Although he knew they were hiding on the mountain, Jarasandha could find no trace of them. Therefore, O king, he placed firewood on all sides and set the mountain ablaze. The two of them then suddenly jumped from the burning mountain, which was 11 yojin as high, and fell to the ground. Footnote 13. 11 yojin is approximately 90 miles. You know, so that's like 130 kilometers or something. That's how you say, K2, eat your heart out, right? Although he knew they were... Okay. That, unseen by their opponent or his followers, O king, these two most exalted Yadus returned to their city of Dwarka, which had the ocean as a protective moat. Jarasandha, moreover, mistakenly thought that Balaram and Keshav had burned to death in the fire. Thus he withdrew his vast military force and returned to the Magadha kingdom. Right, because otherwise, if they killed everybody, he'd be back again. And because they're at Dwarka, then he'd come to Dwarka. Right? But like this, he thinks they're dead. He didn't lose his army, so in that way he feels he was successful. He doesn't have to come back. Because his whole point was to defeat Krishna. So then he'll go back and he'll leave them alone. We never hear of him coming out again. Right? So then it's only when Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima go to visit him for the Rajasuya, then you see that there's interaction. But otherwise, he would every year show up with, 23 Akshauhinis of soldiers, you know, and every year Krishna would defeat them all, you know, single-handedly, but he didn't get the idea. So now, then he'll leave them alone. So his renunciation that he doesn't have to prove himself, and then, you know, and that will protect Dwarka, just Krishna didn't want to go to Vrindavan from Mathura, because if he went back, then Jarasandha and these other demons would go to Vrindavan. So to avoid that, he stayed in Mathura. In the same way as then by this thing, he could go to Dwarka and then everybody would be left alone. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, the phrase Bala Keshavau, strong Balaram, and Krishna, killer of Keshi, indicate their great ability since they completely disregarded Jarasandha's forces, even though they were formidable. This disregard for Jarasandha also nourishes the exciting gallantry by which he abducted Rukmini and gave joy to her. Why did Jarasandha not take Mathura, which was greatly purifying, and live there? As a person from Magadha, he had a taste for the people of lower natures. Thus, even in fleeing, Krishna was actually victorious, since Jarasandha could not catch him even with numerous troops and chariots. And then he jumped from the mountain, surpassing them all. Right, so his deeds, what he did, was much greater. But they couldn't. But they don't have that, because otherwise he could stay there in Mathura. But he didn't have a taste for that. He preferred the Magadha, the locals from Magadha. Yes.
What's the connection between Jarasandha and nourishes the exciting gallantry in which he abducted Rukmini?
How in one he didn't do anything, but here then he does so much. It's just like this. There's 23 Akshauhini, he does nothing. But there's one girl, then he does something. Am I looking better?
He did 17 times though.
Yes, that's there. But the whole point is that he neglects that out of renunciation, but he doesn't neglect Rukmini. Okay, now got it. Okay, now we're good. Okay. Verses 15 to 44. Rukmini's message to Krishna. Sridhar Sukadeva Goswami continued. As ordered by Lord Brahma, Raivata, the opulent ruler of Anartha, gave Lord Balaram his daughter Raivati in marriage. This has already been discussed. Footnote 14. The topic of Lord Krishna's marriage to Rukmini will now be discussed. By way of introduction, a brief mention is made of his brother Baladev's marriage. This marriage was alluded to in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, third chapter, text 33-36. Right? Because if you're following religious principles, Krishna's the younger brother, Balaram's the elder brother. How does he get married before his brother? So, because we're going to discuss about Rukmini, therefore then, it's mentioned that Balaram's already married. Or Balaram is married, whatever you know, or will get married. In any case, the point is that the elder brother is married. So then the younger brother can get married. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah? O hero among the Kurus, the Supreme Lord himself, Govinda, married Bhishmaka's daughter, Vaidarbhi, who was a direct expansion of the goddess of fortune. Means this expansion means directly Mahalakshmi, not Dana Lakshmi. Right? Draupadi's Dana Lakshmi. Mm-hmm. But here, you know, that the Pandavas married. The Lord did this by her desire, and in the process he beat down Salva and other kings who took Shishupal's side. Indeed, as everyone watched, Sri Krishna took Rukmini, just as Garuda boldly stole nectar from the demigods.
Hmm. So Vaidarbhi is Rukmini?
She's from the kingdom of Vaidarbhi. Bhishmaka is the king of Vidarbha. And she's Vaidarbhi. Right? Just like Panchali.
Panchali.
Yeah, means because she's from the Panchala kingdom. Like that. So does that mean Duryodhana's sister's Hastinapurini? Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, according to Vedic convention, there are 8 kinds of marriage. In the first class marriage system, the parents of the bride and bridegroom arrange the marriage date. Then in royal style, the bridegroom goes to the house of the bride, and in the presence of brahmanas, priests, and relatives, the bride is given in charity to the bridegroom. Beside this, there are other systems, such as the Gandharva and Rakshasa marriages. Krishna married Rukmini according to the Rakshasa system, kidnapping her in the presence of his many rivals, like Shishupal, Jarasandha, and Salva. Srila Jiva Goswami adds. So this is used much by the Kshatriyas. Generally, others don't use it like that. It means they might, but it's something for Kshatriyas to use. And because that shows their prowess in that, because they don't accept charity. So then they kidnap the girl. Then having kidnapped the girl, then they do the regular marriage ceremony. But it just shows his prowess. You know, just like Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra. Then they went back to Dwarka and had the regular marriage ceremony. So it's not that they don't do it, it's just that they show their prowess first. So, you know, because it's not like nobody's there or something. It's all the other kings are there and they're vying, especially at a Swayamvar. That's, you know, because then you have some competitors, right? You know, if the girl's just living there with her, you know, with her mom and nobody else, and then you come in and kidnap the girl, and it doesn't really have the same flavor. Right, you know? Yes. Yeah. I say, what was it? What was the Krishna's name they gave there? No, I was just thinking of the killing. Oh, Sudana, right? His killing?
Yeah.
So mother-in-law Sudana. Yes. He kidnapped the girl and defeated the mother-in-law. Yeah, so, yeah, that probably won't go down so well. I don't think anyone in Gujarat will make a temple for you. Srila Jiva Goswami adds, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who is known as Govinda at this time, since he attained or appeared on earth, go, in order to perform special pastimes, married Rukmini. She is called Sriyo Matram, all wealth and qualities. Sriyo, enter, Matri, into her. Like the Lord, she should appear in this world with a complete, perfect form. So here we also see go is the earth, but go is the cow. So Mother Bhumi, when she takes another form, she takes that of a cow, right? Because they go together. Cows and earth really go well together, right? When Krishna, the Lord of the Devatas, Master of the Universe, appears in this world, his consort also enters to assist him, Vishnu Purana. Govinda can mean the Lord of Gokula, who was feeling pain and separation from the gopis. Thus he shed pitiful tears and ordered Uddhava to go to Gokula. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.46.3. Krishna will say after the pastimes are finished. All in 11th canto. All those nights that the gopis spent with me, their most dearly beloved, in the land of Vrindavan, while I herded the cows, seemed to them to pass in less than a moment. Bereft of my association, however, the gopis felt that those same nights were equal to a day of Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.11. Yeah. So you have all these different aspects that are there. He's staying in Dwarka, he's doing that they'll explain. And at the same time, it's not that he doesn't feel separation. So he, being Krishna, he feels that separation. But he's taking another mood, he's performing these other pastimes. So that'll be different than, let's say, Narayan, who actually has a different personality. Does that make sense? It's Krishna, but it's a whole different mood. So he's identifying as servant of Krishna. While Krishna, when he goes to Krishna in Vrindavan, then in Mathura, then in Dwarka, he's Krishna, and so he sees himself as servant, you know, as remembering the gopis and their pastimes and that. In this way, he's feeling separation. So this separation is not just... More to it. Yeah, that this separation is not just him. I mean, just the gopis or the residents of Vrindavan. It's also him. So that means he being rasa, he being the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And if he likes tasting separation, it must be good. Right? Because the living entity comes to the material world to imitate Krishna and be God. So if God, you know, likes this, it must be good. Right? In the material platform, it may not be so nice. But in the spiritual platform, then it has a very good taste. Does this make sense? Though he felt like this towards the gopis, he married Rukmini. Why? She was another form, Matram, of the gopi Radha, Shriya. The gopis are called Shri in the Brahma Samhita. Shriyakanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpatarabho. I worship this Govinda. No, I worship this Gokula. No, this Goloka. Get it right one of these days. I worship this Goloka, where there are unlimited gopis and their beloved Krishna, the supreme form of God, where the trees fulfill all desires. The gopis are superior to Lakshmi. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Lila, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune, though she was intensely attracted to him, or to other consorts in the spiritual world, whose bodily luster and aroma resembled the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.60. As the Pandavas are the best among the Kurus, so the Gopis are the best among all the Lakshmis. They are called Shri because of non-difference of Tattva, or Shriyo Matram can mean that Rukmini is an expansion of Radha. Now you should all return to Vraja, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives, who suffer in separation from us as soon as we have given some happiness to our well-wishing friends. Thus Krishna accepted marriage in order to give happiness to the Yadavas. Right, because that was part of him giving happiness to his relatives, because they would naturally want to see him married. Because in Braj he wasn't married, because that's not part of the pastimes there. Right? Thus Krishna accepted marriage in order to give happiness to the Yadavas. The Kartika Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana states, Kishore Gopa Kanyastha Yovane Raja Kanyaka. In childhood, Krishna enjoyed with the daughters of cowherd men, and in his adolescence, he enjoyed the daughters of kings. Similarly, in the Skanda Purana, it is said, Rukmini Dwaravatyam Tu Radha Vrindavane Vane. Rukmini is in Dwarka what Radha is in the forest of Vrindavan. Because he is Bhagavan, he has a variety of manifestations of his Shaktis. In Narayana Kavacha, it is said, Mam Keshavo Garaya Pratar Avyad Govinda Asan Gavam Ata Venuhu. May Krishna Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. And may Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.8.20. Thus, as the eternal performer of pastimes, he married Rukmini. How did he do this? He is Bhagavan, who appears in Dwarka and Vraja simultaneously by his Achintya Shakti. Similarly, he pacified the gopis through the mouth of Uddhava. Right, so he's performing his pastimes there. He's simultaneously performing his pastimes in Vrindavan. At the same time, in that aspect of separation, that second form of Vrindavan, then he is sent Uddhava to, then through giving messages from Krishna and discussing about Krishna, then he is helping with their feelings of separation. So he's doing all these three at once. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. This was a Swayamvara, the bride choosing her husband, according to the description in Harivamsa. Understanding that Shishupal had been chosen as her husband, she told Krishna to abduct her through a message after her choice of Krishna had been denied. Or Rukmini herself called Krishna as her husband on seeing the message through the son of the Brahmana. He immediately defeated all the kings headed by Salva. Though Jarasandha was the chief warrior there, Salva provoked the battle through his words. Though there was agreement by all the kings to surrender to Krishna in an assembly discussion before the abduction. This is made clear in Harivamsa, Vishnu Parva 52. These kings were the allies of Shishupal. This happened while all the others looked on in disrespect. Since they were kings, they were ashamed of their defeat. Right? So you had that being a Swayamvar, then the kidnapping, makes sense. So then he goes in here, there's all these kings, and then again Jarasandha is there. So here's the defeat of Jarasandha. Right? So now it's just alone. And it's alone, and now how is this defeat going to happen? Right? Means Krishna will be fighting, Rukmini will be driving the chariot. And still, single-handedly, he defeats Jarasandha and all the other kings. Before it was just Jarasandha's army. Now it's Jarasandha's armies and all these other kings. So in this way, that's the contrast. So Jarasandha thinks, oh, he's been victorious here, and so he'll have a good fighting spirit. But we will see that actually he doesn't do so good. Yeah. Yes, so the other kings decided they surrendered to Krishna, but at the same time, Jarasandha, he locks all of these guys up. Right? Not at this point, later. And so those who are supportive of Shishupal, started by Salva, because he's also a problem, we see later in Dwarka, then they try to make all the things and then get everybody going. Because in one sense, they've been defeated, but they've surrendered to the Lord. But here, then he gets everybody going so that they feel they have a fighting chance when they actually don't. But, it's some fun. As King Parikit said, the Supreme Lord married Rukmini, the beautiful-faced daughter of Bhishmaka, in the Rakshasa style, or so I have heard. My Lord, I wish to hear now, how the immeasurably powerful Lord Krishna took away his bride while defeating such kings as Magadha and Salva. What experienced listener or brahmana could ever grow satiated while listening to the pious, charming, and ever-fresh topics of Lord Krishna, which cleanse away the world's contamination? Right? So pious means it's connected to Krishna. It's actually beneficial. It gives good results. Right? Like that. So that's why then religion is used in connection with Krishna, because then it gives very good results. But if you use religion without Krishna, it gives seemingly favorable results on the material platform, but then they go away. While if you use them on the spiritual platform, then they give eternal results, and that you're connected with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, devotees of Krishna are always eager to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord. His activities of fighting, kidnapping, and running away from the battlefield are all transcendental, being on the absolute platform. And devotees take a transcendental interest in hearing of them. The pure devotee does not make the decision that some activities of the Lord should be heard and others avoided. There is, however, a class of so-called devotees known as Prakriti Sahajiyas, who are very much interested in hearing about Krishna's Rasa Leela with the gopis, but not about his fighting with his enemies. They do not know that his bellicose activities and his friendly activities with the gopis are equally transcendental, being on the absolute platform. All the pastimes of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam are relished by pure devotees through submissive oral reception. They do not reject even a drop. Because now as we go, this point's being made here. It wasn't made before. Right? I mean, it's been made at other places, but we see in the 10th canto, this is where it's being made. But now we've seen the position of the gopis, how they deal and everything like that. And that having come to, you know, that being described, you know, to a full position, now this point is being made. And as we saw, that we see throughout this 10th canto, it's a regular thing, the acharyas are making the point that Krishna is everything. And you see everything connected to Krishna. There's nothing that's not connected to Krishna. So therefore, one's surrendered completely and dependent upon Krishna completely, because there being nothing separated, there is no other method to gain any benefit than Krishna. Because if there's something separate, then you think someone else can take care of it. But if it's just Krishna, then that idea is not there. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Same point is being emphasized in CC in the most confidential chapters.
Ah, so you heard Prabhu saying that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the more confidential chapters where it's discussing these kind of points, the same thing is being brought up again and again. Right? So now, why are we mentioning that? That's so that we appreciate that why Prabhu is saying not even a drop does pure devotees reject, because it's all about Krishna. And so for the gopis, they see everything connected to Krishna. So there's no pastime of Krishna that's not of interest, because it's Krishna. Right? It's their Braja Krishna who, in his expansions, is performing all these pastimes. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Just because it's not with them doesn't mean it's not interesting. Right? Just like, to give an example, is that, let us say, to make it easier, will it work? We'll try. That the mother, she's at home, and when the child comes home after school, does she ask how it went at school or what happened at school or not? Yes. But if you look at it technically, according to the Sahajiya's position, why would she ask? Because it had nothing to do with her. You understand? So the Sahajiyas imagine they're gopis, so they only want to hear about Krishna and the gopis. So it's actually quite selfish. But if you care about the person, any act, what he did with friends, what they did, you know, at school, or if they went on, you know, some kind of a camping trip, what they did there, and all these different things, and that's there. But one prefers one's own rasa, but it's not that you don't appreciate all others. Like the mother's most happy when the child's at home, she's interacting in that. But all these other aspects are appreciated because they're connected to the kid, and they have affection for the kid. So because the gopis have affection for Krishna, therefore anything connected with Krishna, they're happy to hear about. Does that make sense? So that's why the Bhagavatam is relishable, the whole thing, not just certain parts. That's the problem with the Bhagavat Sapta discussers is that they only do certain parts. They go through everything quite quickly and then spend all the time on 10th canto. And of 10th canto, then basically the Vrindavan pastime. You know, all in their 7-day program. Right? So, mm-hmm. Yes.
So gopis, they are fixed in their meditation. They see the gopinath doing all of this.
Yes,
pastime.
Yes.
But for us, it's more difficult, apparently, because we've given the range of meditation from Brahma Gayatri to Kama Gayatri, and of course the main meditation is on the Maha Mantra. So which aspect should we take, or we just don't worry about it?
Well, the point is in a relationship with Krishna,
yeah.
Right? And that his interaction, then there are three forms.
Yes.
Right? So, Gominda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan. Right? So, all these different features are there of Krishna that make the wonderfulness of the pastimes. How do we know about these pastimes? How is that available to us? That's through Lord Chaitanya. And then he shows how those apply in our life. You know, through the Samkirtan mission, through the preaching, through the cultivation of association with devotees that are close, so Ajati, and by our own personal, advancement in Krishna consciousness and our meditation on that. How do we get this grace of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, who's taken on this mood of Radharani? Right? So it's the same Braja Krishna, the same Braja Radharani. So that's Lord Chaitanya. Then you have the spiritual master. By the connection with the spiritual master, then we have those same three functions. Right? We have that, you know, understanding about Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness, and our connection with you know, Krishna in his transcendental position. Right? Does that make sense? Because you can't approach Krishna without the spiritual master, without the parampara, because we're approaching the spiritual master, then, you know, like this, it goes up through the parampara to Rupa Goswami. From there, then that's being served to Radharani, and then she's serving Krishna. So in any case, wherever we're situated, you're always going to have that aspect of the parampara. Right? And so, that aspect of Radha and Krishna, then to be able to appreciate the topmost level of what that means, then that's Lord Chaitanya. Because others are worshipping Radha and Krishna. But that aspect of this worship of Radha and Krishna as Braja Radha and Krishna, and this aspect of separation, that we see is given by Lord Chaitanya. So that means we won't actually appreciate the position without Lord Chaitanya. And we can't approach Lord Chaitanya and won't appreciate that without Guru, who reveals. Does that make sense so far? So there's not a wide range here. It's all one thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then there's the but.
There isn't but, however, there are two approaches to this point. One approach is that we are who we are.
We are who we are.
In a relationship with Krishna means we can become somebody else.
Right.
We have our own nature.
Right.
And other approach is that we are who our guru is. Means that's our nature.
I never heard that one. We are who our guru is.
Means the quality that.
No, but if that's the case, then what about, who is it? Srinivasacharya, is it? Who's the one who's. Who was Hridaya?
Yeah, Dukhi Krishnadas.
Dukhi Krishnadas. And what about him? His guru is Sakya Bhav, but he's Gopi Bhav.
Yeah, that was a big conflict.
That was only because it wasn't understood.
There's only one example. We're always saying it's only one example.
Yeah, but we only need one example. When we go in that, no, but I want to do this, and but nobody does this. Everybody does this. Who's this? You know, it's just your friend agreed with you. That's all it took. Everybody means one guy. So, so it's good enough.
How many do you need?
Yeah, that's the whole point. How many do you need? Does that make sense? So, it means that's natural there, but his point is on the Bhagavat platform, Siksha is the same. Though we have that formal relationship with the Diksha. And that's important on this side. But once one is liberated, then it's the Siksha that remains. Right? So what can enhance the understanding or appreciation is that when we talk about serving Krishna in the mood of the gopis, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be the secondary form that the gopis use, but that mood of full surrender that the gopis have, the primary aspect, that's the one that everybody is appreciating. Even Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows is appreciating. You understand? That's what it means to be able to serve Krishna in that mood of surrender, the gopis, because you go for the top. You try for that. That's what you want to be, right? Does that make sense? It's just like the person goes to Tinseltown with somebody in mind. Do they become that person? No. Right? Understand? Another one of those examples that just goes blank. Tinseltown. Yeah, a couple of people have it. Hollywood. La La Land. Means that they have somebody that they're inspired by, some actor or someone in sports is inspired by someone in the area, and then they themselves try to go there. But it's not that they become that, you understand? So in that way, then, following the footsteps of the gopis, because the point is which gopis are we following the footsteps of? Right? All the eternal associates, you know. So we're not going to be on their level, but we can follow in the footsteps of that. So however far back the footsteps are, it doesn't matter, but we can follow them. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, then someone like Narad Muni or Bhishma Dev or Uddhava can feel that they want the blessings of the gopis and that they're full surrender. So that way there is no two paths. There's only one path. It may have its form that it normally takes, but there's only one path. Because Krishna says in Gita, there's only one path. It's just a matter of how far you're going on that path and to what level of a realization of Krishna you have. So the karmi only sees Krishna in the material world. So that's as far as they get. While the jnani sees then Krishna as Brahman, so they get to that level. But the devotee sees then Krishna as Bhagavan. And then depending upon the particular taste there, then to that particular degree. So basically at one end you have Srimati Radharani, and at the other end then you have the Yamadutas boiling you in oil. These are the end games right here. So now we can follow in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, or, you know, there's plenty of others. Just open any contemporary magazine. There's plenty of people, acharyas, you can follow if you want to be boiled in oil. You know, or tossed off a mountain, or, you know, whatever. Take your pick. You know, it's like... There's a name for it, the hellish region. Something Puri? I can't remember. It means the total destruction, it means, basically. Something like Samhara Puri, I think. It's, yeah, like that. So you have that at one end, and you have Braja Radharani and Krishna and their path at the other end. So it's just a matter of where in between but we're going towards Krishna, we follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So it doesn't matter what one's position is. One can appreciate that. Does that make sense? That's in the principle. In detail, then there'll be more appreciation or not. So they'll appreciate that surrender, but cowherd boys will follow after them. Parents will follow after Mother Jashoda, like this. But the principle of surrender, because remember in Bhav Sadhana, the first aspect is the mood that's there. So Braja Bhakti is the mood. That's the first point. The second point only, that's then where we take up the... How you say? Particular service according to our particular attraction. But that's the next state. It's not two different things. It's the next natural thing. Does that make sense? Yes? No? So we don't have to worry. They're not two different things. It's just generally as the spiritual master, that's what you follow. But the point is, as we can see, is that there are those in the Gaudiya line that aren't going to Braj, who are followers of Lord Chaitanya. But they'll all be inspired by the service that's rendered there. And they'll see that in connection with the particular deity form that they're interested in. So, the serving Lord Chaitanya will be the quickest way to make that work. Does that make sense? So, following Lord Chaitanya, you can get yourself to Vaikuntha quicker and easier than if you follow the paths given by the acharyas from Vaikuntha. So that's why Lord Chaitanya, everybody can appreciate. It's not that, you know, only will appreciate. Everybody can appreciate. It's just a matter of whether they're interested in Braja Bhakti or not. So that's the element. Does that make sense? So one doesn't have to worry that there's a confusion of options like that. What's being offered is Braja Bhakti. So once you get to that liberated point, then you can worry about further detail. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If there's no focus at this point, you don't have to worry. Once getting there, then it will become obvious. Because there'll be nothing to, no obstacles from the material platform. So, yeah. Okay, we're good? So therefore, then there's no... And the Brahma Gayatri, then you can see it as, it's for understanding that we're the soul, not the body. It situates us on the transcendental platform. Does that make sense? So, being situated on the transcendental platform, following the spiritual master, serving the desire of Lord Chaitanya, then we worship, you know, Krishna as Govinda Gopinath and Madan Mohan in his pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan. Right? And that's your... Is that, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're all good? Sri Bhadarayani said, there was a king named Bhishmaka, the powerful ruler of Vidarbha. He had five sons and one daughter of lovely countenance. Rukmini was the first. Oh, Rukmi! I was going to say Rukmini was the firstborn son. Is that what's going on? Okay, yeah. Rukmi was the firstborn son, followed by Rukmarta, Rukmarata. Okay, Rukmarata, not Rukmartha. Okay, Rukmarata, Rukmabahu, Rukmakesha, and Rukmamali. The sister was the exalted Rukmini. Hearing of the beauty, prowess, transcendental character, and opulence of Mukunda from visitors to the palace who sang his praises, Rukmini decided that he would be the perfect husband for her. Right, so people come and visit the palace and all that, and so they're going to be, you know, then they'll hear their discussions about the things. Because the court, either in the court in the formal thing, they may be discussing things there and bringing things up there, or in the more, if they're specifically guests of the king or private guests of the king, then, you know, where they're entertaining guests. In any case, the girls can hear about this. So either they're in the court, then up you see that there's areas where they can watch from, or if it's in in the more general area of the house, then either they're there at the thing, or they can also be up, or they're in the inner chambers of the place, depending upon who they are, like Brahmins might be going there, and then they'll hear directly in that way. Does that make sense? So in any case, whatever's going on, they can hear everything, right? It's just like they have that to go watch the court. There isn't one of those things in the inner chambers for that the king can go up and watch the girls, right? Yeah. Yes. So in other words, they hear everything like that. The kings hear, you know, what they're supposed to hear, right? The BBT purport mentions, The word Sadarisham indicates that Rukmini and Sri Krishna had similar qualities and thus were naturally attracted to each other. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Krishna knew that Rukmini possessed intelligence, auspicious bodily markings, beauty, proper behavior, and all other good qualities. Concluding that she would be an ideal wife for him, he made up his mind to marry her. Notice the first one is intelligence. Like that. That one somehow or another doesn't come on the list nowadays, generally. So last on the list, not on the list. Why would anybody put it on the list? Okay. Yeah, so basically out of all this, they just take beauty, right? Because proper behavior, auspicious markings, all those would go together, good qualities. Like that, yeah. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, just as Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Rukmini is the supreme goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi. According to the authority of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the expansion of Krishna and that of Srimati Radharani are simultaneous. Krishna expands himself into various Vishnu Tattva forms, and Srimati Radharani expands herself into various Shakti Tattva forms by her internal potency as multivarious forms of the goddess of fortune. So as Krishna expands, there's automatically, because he has all energies, so that means Radharani is already expanded as his consort. Like that. So as Krishna expands as Dwarka Krishna, she's already expanded as Rukmini. Does this make sense?
When we say that Rukmini, that means that Radharani expanded as Satyabhama in the moon, and Rukmini is and Chandravani is Rukmini. I mean, from the point of view of Rasa.
Yes. Yeah, I was just thinking, should we address the elephant in the room, or shall we just move on? So I turned the page, and the elephant made itself known. Yes, so because who's expanding? Chandravali is an expansion of Radharani. So it's Radharani who's expanding, not Chandravali. Does that make sense? So that's why you say Radharani is expanding, because that keeps the flavor, because it's Radharani who's doing that. But we see that in the Vraj pastimes in Radharani, she is the natural flavor of the left wing, that's it, yeah, left wing gopis. So she's the head of that. And so, naturally then, if left wing is going to have a flavor, then you have to have something to compare it to, that's right wing. Right? So because otherwise, what's the point of left wing if there is no right wing? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then the head of the right wing then is Chandravali. So that's naturally an expansion of Radharani. Right? But the point is that it has the right wing mood, which then in Parakya then isn't as tasteful, right? As the left wing. But it's a major taste. So therefore she's the best of all those who are right wing. And Radharani is the best of all those who are left. And so then people are following, the two of them, right? So, but when you go into Dwarka, which then is instead of Parakya, is Swakya, then being in the married, then the right wing is the prominent one. So therefore, then it's Radharani who's expanding, but since the flavor is right wing, it will take on that quality like Chandravali. But then Satyabhama is still there. It's not that the kings don't appreciate the left wing mood. Like that, because being powerful in that, they can deal with that very nicely. So, the Radharani then takes that mood there as Satyabhama. Does that make sense? So that's the whole aspect.
And therefore, the acharyas mentioned that Satyabhama is very dear to Krishna.
Very dear to Krishna. Mm. Yes, Satyabhama. Yes. Yeah. Does that make sense? So therefore we don't have any problem because it's all Radharani anyway, just like Vishnu is Krishna. Different flavor, so yes, Rukmini has a different flavor, but it's still Radharani who's expanded. But the flavor will match that of Chandravali, rather than, well, Satyabhama, that will match that of Radharani. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just like in the pastimes, Garadhar, who's Radharani, she doesn't take on that mood. Right? Because Lord Chaitanya is already, Krishna's already tasting her mood, so you don't need two Radharanis there. Right? So, because Garadhar is Radharani, but the mood is that of taking the background to support. Does that make sense? So the only one you see taking that mood very nicely is then Prema Vivarta?
Jagannanda.
Because he's the expansion of Satyabhama.
Yeah.
So then you see that left-wing mood there. Because that'll match. But with Radharani, he's not going to take that, since Krishna's already taking that mood. But she can't be separated from Krishna, so she's always in their pastimes as Garadhar Pandit. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sukadev Goswami continued, because Rukmi envied the Lord, O King, he forbade his family members to give a sister to Krishna, although they wanted to. So they were impressed with Krishna. She was impressed with Krishna. They all thought that was the perfect marriage, but Rukmi, because he's envious, he said no. And being the elder brother, then it kind of goes that way. Right? Instead, Rukmi decided to give Rukmini to Shishupala, right? Because he knew Shishupal did not like Krishna. But he's in the same family, so it's a glorious family. Right? Because he's a cousin. Right? Dark-eyed Vidarbhi was aware of this plan, and it deeply upset her. Analyzing the situation, she quickly sent a trustworthy brahmana to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. The king of Vidarbha, Maharaj Bhishmaka, was very qualified and devoted. He had 5 sons and only 1 daughter. The first son was known as Rukmi, the second Rukmarata, the third Rukmabahu, the fourth Rukmakesha, and the fifth Rukmamali. The brothers had 1 young sister, Rukmini, right? So she was the youngest of all of them. She was beautiful and chaste and was meant to be married to Lord Krishna. Many saintly persons and sages like Narad Muni used to visit the palace of King Bhishmaka. Naturally, Rukmini had a chance to talk with them, and in this way, she obtained information about Krishna. She was informed about the 6 opulences of Krishna, and simply by hearing about him, she decided to surrender herself to his lotus feet and become his wife. Krishna had also heard of Rukmini. She was the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, intelligence, auspicious physical features, liberal-mindedness, exquisite beauty, and righteous behavior. Krishna therefore decided that she was fit to be his wife. All the relatives of King Bhishmaka decided that Rukmini should be given in marriage to Krishna, but her elder brother Rukmi, despite the desire of the others, arranged for a marriage with Shishupala, a determined enemy of Krishna. When the black-eyed beautiful Rukmini heard of the settlement, she immediately became very morose. However, being a king's daughter, she understood political diplomacy and decided that there was no use in simply being morose. Some steps should be taken immediately. After some deliberation, she decided to send a message to Krishna, and so that she might not be deceived, she selected a qualified brahmana as her messenger. Such a qualified brahmana is always truthful and is a devotee of Vishnu. Without delay, she sent the brahmana to Dwarka. Right? Because she had this. So generally, you know, then one can lament about something and be morose, but nothing gets done by lamentation. A taste, yes, but something done, no. Right? So, therefore, to get, and this required more than taste, right? Because, okay, she's going to lament, but that's not going to be as nice a taste as then if she gets Krishna as her husband. So, therefore, then, she wants to make that arrangement. So then, she sees that, yes, then, according to diplomacy, she has to make that connection. Right? So she has to send someone. But the problem is who do you send? Because they may not be very good at giving the message. They may be one of, you know, Rukmi's Wallas, or like this, or, you know, so many different things. Or they may be too much trouble, and they just give up and say that they did it. You know, so many things. So she picks a nice Brahmin who she knows is proper and everything like that, and is a devotee of Vishnu, so therefore he will deliver the message. Right? So that's then her calculation. like this. So then she's making arrangements. So we can see here is actually there's a third kind of marriage going on, right? Because they'll be married according to the Brahma rite after Krishna kidnapped her by the Rakshasa rite, but she first by the Prajapatya element is already making some arrangements, right? But it was already based on the Brahma because her parents and everybody already agreed, so that's already there. But it's not going to happen that way because of Rukmi. So then Krishna, he has to do his part as the Rakshasa, and she does her part as the Prajapatya. Does this make sense? So, yes, like that. So it's good.
She's very intelligent.
Yes, that's why it opens with intelligence, because that's one of the six qualities, the feminine qualities mentioned in Gita. So intelligence. So you see intelligence and then all good qualities. So all those good qualities will mean one's religious, one then has all auspicious, auspicious marks, and that recreates beauty. So because, piety creates all the other aspects. So beauty is the first. So that means the greater the piety, then it comes out in this way. Right? But some people can have just beauty and none of the other qualities. You do have that. Because that's the only area where they dealt properly. The other areas they didn't. They lost that. Or they may have the other areas and not have beauty. You know, so that's it. But you see, she had all the different things because she's the goddess of fortune. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.